Hey. Sorry, it's been so long since I've released an episode. I've just had like a bunch of episodes that have been rolling around in my head. I'm sure you're probably wondering what's going on with the snake episode. There will be an update to that episode, but the results of what happened, what transpired over that episode and what will come up the next episode, I've actually been in the middle of dealing with right now. Part of the reason why we haven't seen a new episode on this podcast for a little bit. I think it's been about a week, unfortunately. But I've got some new ideas going on in my head. I'm gonna update that snake thing. I'm also considering doing a new segment called Windy Wednesday, and doing a little where I talk about like news about airlines and airports, and also do a little bit of trivia. So if you're interested in trivia, shoot me a message here on Anchor, or you can shoot me a message on Twitter at Trivial Attire. And this episode you're about to listen to has been in the process of making for a while. So sit back, enjoy. It's about a half hour when you count in the music, if you have a music subscription. If not, it might be a little bit shorter. Take care. Love you all. Also, if you like the new picture, that was drawn by my friend Demo Weasel. This will be the new image for the podcast for probably a good while. I haven't decided if I want to add text to it or not, but if you like it, let me know what you think. Shoot me a message here on Anchor, voice message, or you can always shoot me a message on Twitter at trivialattire.com. No, at twitter.com/trivialattire. You can see more of Demo Weasel's work on his Twitter page. Twitter.com/demoweasel. Also, just a quick amendment to this episode. The current podcast art was made by Nux Lion on Twitter. You can find more of his work at twitter.com/tenuxlight. I will give you the URL in this segment description. If you're on other podcast services, you might not be able to see it. And just a heads up, he posts a lot of not safe for work stuff. There's a lot. Just a lot of stuff that'd make your mom blush in there. So just a heads up. All right, so I actually wrote up like this huge document, wrote like sort of like a script that I was going to follow for this segment on furries, but when I recorded it initially, it sounded scripted, and that wasn't the intent. It was supposed to sound like I was speaking from experience. And I wrote this script speaking from experience, but it didn't sound like I was actually conversing with anybody. It did sound like I have what has been described as like a radio voice, I guess. Although if you're listening to the past episodes, I do not agree with that statement whatsoever. But like I used to work for a call center and I used to work for restaurants, and I would pick up the phone and people would hang up on me thinking that I was an automated system. Let me give you an example of a greeting that I had once upon a time. Hello, you've reached La Casa on 44th, or shit. Hello, you've reached La Casa on Leavenworth Street. My name is Colin. How may I help you? I believe I actually said the address, but I can't remember exactly how that greeting went. It went something like, "Hello, you've reached La Casa on 4432 Leavenworth Street." No, that doesn't sound right at all. It sounded robotic when I was saying it, and people would start. I would start hearing the person on the other side of the line be like, "Hello." Hello, or be like pushing, you would hear actual like keypad presses on the other line. I was like, no, I'm a real person. Believe me. So I'm going to very loosely do this little script, just sort of, it's going to be very loose.
Colin, how are you doing? It's Patrick from We Live on a Planet. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on over to my station and giving it a favorite. I do appreciate that, man. Enjoy the Anchor community. You're going to have a lot of fun. I was listening to your podcast. It's really good. I like the idea how you just wanted to get the self-help improvement. And then one of the reasons why you wanted to start a podcast was because of that. And I've heard of that furry community as well. I think that that's a really, what I've heard, a friendly, loving community. So that's cool that you're a part of that community. Take care, my friend. And I look forward to hearing more from you. Peace.
I've been part of the furry fandom for like the past 11 years going onward from there. And the community, I would argue that I've always been one, but I didn't actually have a name for it or know that a community existed for it until 11 years ago. If it hadn't been for the furry community, and the people that I've met within the community itself, I don't think I'd still be here. There's a lot of hate for furries on the internet, from gamers, from people that like anime, from different fandoms, My Little Pony, or Star Trek and Star Wars. Name like a little internet niche, and you will probably find furries also in that group, but you will also find people that don't like them. The thing that separates furries from other communities and fandoms, I don't even like to use the word fandom for furry, because I don't feel like, so when you think of a fandom, you would think of, oh, Star Wars and Star Trek. You know, all those people dress up as characters from those movies or make their own characters that would exist within the scope of those stories and that franchise. Or My Little Pony, people create like their own pony sona, or no, they call them bronies and pegasisters. Within the scope of the established lore of My Little Pony, or the established lore of some anime show like Bleach or Naruto, the furry fandom specifically doesn't really, the community doesn't really have any sort of pre-established lore or background that it relies on to exist in itself. The entire community is self-sustaining. Like, the artists within the community create art of their own characters, they create scenes, they write stories, they animate, and the people within the community, like myself included, create our own characters and craft our own characters and our own stories that in our own little universes that we created. There is no grand scheme, there is no franchise, there is no one thing that unifies all of us, that there is no one thing that acts as a sounding rod or as a focal point that we all fixate on, like the My Little Pony group. They rely on that lore, or people that like Fallout, they rely on the established lore that the game developers have built around that world or that franchise. Furries don't have anything like that. It's entirely self-sustained. Now, there are movies like Disney's Robin Hood or Zootopia, or commercials like Tony the Tiger, or TV shows like Looney Tunes. Those things all feature furries and funny animals, but the community itself isn't reliant on those properties to exist for the community to exist. The way that I see it, furries are comprised of like people that come from all walks of life. We're all unique in our sexualities, our the religions that we follow, the color of our skin, the burdens that we bear, the stories we tell, the lives we've lived. We're all unique, just like anybody else. Even if you're not in a community or you're not in a fandom, which most of us probably are, we all have our own identities, like that exist. The only thing that really separates furries from people that aren't furries, that's really it. It's binary. It's yes or no. And you either do or you don't, but there are bad eggs in our community, just like in every community, but we're generally well-meaning and largely inclusive of everybody that feels how we do about anthropomorphic animals. If you think that the idea of intelligent, sentient animals is cool, that's what we like. That's the appreciation that we all love. I think it's because all animals come in all shapes and sizes, and they are beautiful most of the time. They're innocent, and they have qualities that we all find to be attractive. Like, the Egyptians had gods with the bodies of man, but the head of animals. Anubis was the god of the dead. He bore the head of a jackal, and Ra was the sun god, believed to rule all parts of the created world. All forms of life having been created by the falcon-headed god. We see traits in animals and personify them because we relate to them. We see tigers as strong animals, so naturally it made sense to use a tiger as a mascot for a cereal that markets itself as an athlete cereal of choice. Every group, every community has bad apples. The problem that furries have had with the media especially is that the media likes to portray furries as sexual deviants. Or it had. Recently, though, it's actually been doing a pretty good job at portraying us in a more positive light, or more positive light relative to what they used to as, like, sexual deviants. The community tries to, you know, actively reject anybody who would make them look bad. For example, just like within the last few months, there was this weird situation that happened where a couple people in BDSM gear was at a furry convention, and they started doing some pretty lewd stuff just like right there in the hotel lobby, and people got mad about it. Like, they got pissed that this was happening. Like, it's like, what the fuck are you people doing? You can't just don't do this shit in the lobby. Go get a fucking room. It actually started like a huge conversation, like, in the fandom. And it's weird how conversations actually start. And usually it's in Twitter. Usually it's like one post that picks up a lot of traction somehow. A lot of people start retweeting it, and then everybody sees it, and now everybody's talking about it, and we all have our own two cents to chime in to the discussion on the subject, which the subject that spawned from that incident happening was, should we allow people wearing pup hoods, which are like, they're basically leather masks that look like a dog's face. Should we let pup hoods from the BDSM community, I guess, should we allow that at furry conventions? Should we allow people to wear something like that in a public space at a furry convention? There were a lot of points brought up, like, oh, well, maybe the furry community is just getting so large that it makes sense to sort of break it up a little bit, and we could have conventions specifically for people that like BDSM and furries. Or we should completely outright ban pup hoods from public spaces and only have them in, like, areas that you would need to have a con badge for. I don't think that much changed, except there were some conventions like AnthroCon, Midwest Fur Fest, Confuzzled in Europe, for instance, over in the UK, actually updated some of their policies regarding pup hoods. I can't remember what any of them say, but I think the general consensus is, and this is something they actually referenced, like a court ruling for this. They said, you'll know when you see it. If it's very clearly like, okay, you should not be doing that right here, right now, that's generally not going to be approved or allowed by the convention to let those people do that where they're doing it. At the start of 2017, there were a lot of people that immediately became more apparent following the election that were members of the alt-right group, of the alt-right movement. They like to call themselves alt-furries. I don't like to refer to them as that. They're alt-right. They're furry, but they don't get to bastardize our name. That is not the value. Those are not the values that the majority of the fandom like to represent. So, no, you're not you're alt-right, and you might be a furry, but you're not alt-furry. You don't get to bastardize the name. The furry community is actively ousting and shunning these fuckers from where they hide, and we're sending a clear message that they're not welcome. Another thing that's been occurring that's, you know, sort of riding off the coattails of the Me Too movement are call-out posts, where people accuse other people. You know, a call-out post basically is when person A is having some sort of discourse with person B. And if they, usually what happens is in these situations is that they try to sort it out by themselves, among themselves. They can't come to an agreement or something, and it's so bad that one of them feels like a public obligation, like a public duty of some sort, to make a post publicly and be like, hey, person A is being a dipshit, and this is what they're doing. Other people will respond to it, and usually the response is pretty strong. Sometimes depends upon what's being discussed, and it usually resorts in some action, such as blocking or muting, or sometimes can go even far as all those people that see the post going and harassing the person that was called out. And there is no news source, there is no media, no common story or whatever that's covering this. This is all being distributed via word of mouth on Twitter, where people see the posts and they retweet it or they respond to it. Even if they like it, other people will see, oh, so-and-so that you follow liked this post. And the consequences can be pretty dire. There was actually a call-out post recently that turned out to be false. And despite the fact that this was, you know, the post was disproven, that, oh, the person that was accused is actually not the person that was being accused, but was actually being framed, or they were the victim of an imposter impersonating them. But, you know, unfortunately, the damage has been done. People have blocked them. People have moved on from the issue, and will have no idea that the original call-out post was actually misinformed and misguided. And we see this all the time in, like, American news media already, especially with fake news media on Facebook. And that's going to be a completely different subject for an entirely different podcast for someone else to tackle. My point I'm getting at here is that because there is no centralized news source or publication that our community has to rely on, it's all by word of mouth. And we all have to do our own. That's how anyone hears anything about what's going on in the fandom, is by word of mouth. And sometimes you have to do your own research. You can't always trust that the person doing the call-out post, or the person posting the policy, or doing this, that, or the other thing. You can't always trust. You got to remember that you're only hearing one side of the story. That there aren't any journalists handling this. You have to do your own research. What journalists have actually reported, though, besides sensationalizing the sexual deviancy of certain aspects of the fandom, which, yes, they do exist, but, well, all people, of course, that exist. We're talking about a community that is primarily in its 20s. Everybody's out looking for that. But that's not what the community is about. News media has also reported certain aspects of our fandom that are great. Like, for conventions especially. Every place, if you go to a convention and you actually check out the areas around a convention, like at AnthroCon in Pittsburgh, if you look at Pittsburgh and the immediate area around the convention, you can see there's signs everywhere. And these signs for different businesses, restaurants, and stuff like that are advertising. They're catering to furries. Like, oh, come in. We've got special drinks exclusive to the occasion. And different charities, actually, you'll find, are able to rack up huge amounts of funding from furry conventions. Just last year, Midwest Fur Fest in Chicago accrued nearly just $1,000 shy of $4,500,000 for charity. The people that I have met and made friends with in the fandom helped pull me through high school, because I was a very depressed, very distraught child in high school, and I was able to get through it with the help of my friends that I made through the community. I'm gonna just name some names now on here and give them my thanks. If you're listening to this, please let me know that you're listening to it, because it would mean a great deal to me that you actually heard this and that you've already stuck through 20 minutes of this fucking episode. Alright. Rhoda Helican, thank you so much for helping me get through my high school years. Honestly, probably wouldn't still be here if I hadn't had you to talk to. Dave, my boyfriend, you're incredibly funny. I love hanging around with you. I love messing with you. You're so fun to mess with. And you're so huggable. Oh, I love hugging you. Demo Weasel, you're like the first best friend that I've ever made in the last 6 to 7 years. And I had actually been considering commissioning you for my reference sheet for an entire 1 to 2 years prior to even me approaching you. And I definitely don't regret it. We've had a few hiccups in the road, something I might talk about later, but right now I'm going to try and wrap this up. I'm really glad that I made you as a friend. Josh, you're the one that introduced me to Rosh and to Luca and to Dave, actually. Talking to you while I was doing that stupid overnight shift at the airport for Firewatch, you just made it so much more bearable. I really loved talking to you over long Skype discussions. Oh my god, I'm so glad to be done with Skype, but I do miss talking to you. Rosh, Luca, and Shiro, I've loved talking to all of you. You all have helped me sort of explore bits about myself that I haven't really, while I was single, I hadn't been able to really fully develop and come to understand about myself. Luca, if you're listening to this, you're a really strong person, and I can't say that I completely understand everything that's going on with you in your life right now, but I love hearing your interactions on Twitter with me, and I do notice. Raz was also, you're also one of the people that helped me understand some things about myself, and you're actually, not you, you actually pointed me to Monty Puffs, and Monty Puffs actually pointed me to Voodoo, and I actually met Robbie through all of you. You're my favorite, Texas crew. Even though Robbie lives in California, I associate him and the rest of you so strongly with making Texas Furry Fiesta my first time going there. So special. Voodoo, honestly, if I hadn't met you at... If Monty hadn't pointed me your way and you weren't the host of the room that I was staying in for that convention in 2017, that convention would have been really fucking bad. And this year, 2018's TFF was pretty shitty, to be honest. But I'm not blaming your absence on the reason for that being bad. I'm just really glad that to have met you, and I feel fortunate to have met you. You just consistently radiate positivity every time that I talk to you. And that's something that I strive to do. I strive to make people feel positive and happy about themselves and happy with how things are unfolding around us, even if it's something as little as shit going on at work or the bigger picture, like actual deep personal things that are happening in all of our lives. Bill Catt, for being the first person to have both drawn my fox fursona and my raccoon fursona, I've come to you first both times to sort of actualize and draw a concept of what my character actually looks like. I'll be completely honest with you, a lot of the shit that you say goes way over my head, but your like thespian background and your love for musicals and high literature is just awesome to listen to. I love you're awesome. You're actually how I met Brian and Novadog, and Novadog is how I met Greg, Alalobster, Jai, and Dev. I love all of you. Brian, you've actually helped me. You've been instrumental in my development in recent years as far as figuring out how to get my moving situation situated. what I should do in terms of moving to Minneapolis, how I should manage my money, what health things I should be conscious about. And it's been a pleasure. I love hanging out with you. You're a great friend. And honestly, I don't talk to some of you, not at all anymore, as much as I should. And I really do think all of you quite often. And I really miss you guys. This happens to me a lot. This is a personal problem that I have where I feel like I run out of things to talk about, but I know that I want to continue communicating with you guys. I just don't know what the fuck to talk about. And this happens to me a lot in my friendships. I love all of you. And please know that I follow all of you very closely on Twitter. I have you on Ding Alert, which Brian actually taught me that term, Ding Alert. I have notifications set up for you guys, so every time that you say something on Twitter, I always get every post. And I'm here if you need someone to listen to. I haven't forgotten about any of you, and I love you guys. All right, that's it for this episode. We're already passing 26 minutes before I cut it down in Audacity. And I'm going to play a song or two for you.